County Clerk Lynn Ellens began issuing the licenses at 8 o'clock Wednesday morning, based on the widely accepted legal opinion that the state constitution does not expressly prohibit same-sex marriage. The issue is currently making its way through the state court system, but the New Mexico Supreme Court has yet to issue a formal resolution. Ellens says he believes the practice will eventually be declared legal, adding that he didn't want to keep the residents of Doña Ana County waiting the 6 to 10 months it could take for an official ruling to be released.
I'm not inventing the wheel on this. I think it's clear that this is the way the country is moving. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's the legal thing to do.
New Mexico currently recognizes same-sex marriages performed in other states. Ellens says the applications and licenses his office has been issuing have been updated to be gender neutral. For KUNM, I'm Carrie Young. A growing number of county clerks have taken it upon themselves to issue same-sex marriage licenses in New Mexico. They say the state constitution does not expressly prohibit it. But the group behind the lawsuit says the decision to make same-sex marriage legal in the state should reside with lawmakers, not the county clerks. Representative Alonzo Baldonado is a Republican from Las Lunas, New Mexico.
29,000 people roughly are represented by each state representative in New Mexico. And their voice is not heard in this. You don't circumvent the process. You go through and you figure out a way to get that bill passed. That's how we get things done in a legislative body.
Since last Wednesday, more than 450 marriage licenses have been issued to same-sex couples across the state. For KUNM, I'm Carrie Young.
By high noon, over 80 same-sex marriage licenses had been issued, and many of those couples made their way out onto the Civic Plaza to wed.
For those of you who have a license and would like to be married, we ask that you would, folks, let them come forward.
Officiates from a slew of faiths joined a metropolitan judge to do the honors.
It is my great honor and privilege, with the power invested in me in the state of New Mexico, at last, to pronounce you married.
In the last week, a total of 5 New Mexico County clerks have begun issuing same-sex marriage licenses. So far, 462 have been given out. However, Amber Royster with Equality New Mexico says there's still a lot of work to be done.
We are still really looking for the New Mexico Supreme Court to issue the ruling that will make it the law of the land.
Some Republican lawmakers are calling the county clerk's action lawless. Reporting in Albuquerque, I'm Rita Daniels.
The lawsuit argues that the New Mexico Constitution requires the state to allow same-sex couples the freedom to marry. In New Mexico, 8 of the state's 33 counties are actively issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Bernalillo County is one of them. County Clerk Maggie Toulouse Oliver says she was given very clear direction to issue the licenses from a state district court judge. But she says many other county clerks are still waiting for clarity on the issue.
What clerks from other counties in the state are looking for, either those who are issuing them of their own accord or who are under simpler court orders, are that clear direction from the Supreme Court, and so that every county is doing the same thing and that we have a consistent policy across the state.
A group of Republican lawmakers filed a separate lawsuit back in August to stop clerks who began voluntarily handing out marriage licenses to same-sex couples. A final decision on the issue is not expected the day of the hearing. For KUNM, I'm Carrie Young.
International.
And this is KUNM News and Music that Connect from the University of New Mexico. In just a few short seconds, we are going live to the New Mexico Supreme Court in Santa Fe. Justices will hear oral arguments on same-sex marriage today in 2 one-hour sessions. The first hour session considers statutory implications, and the second considers the constitutional implications. We are bringing you this coverage live from the New Mexico Supreme Court. It is the first time that the court has allowed live broadcast from the courtroom for this particular case. The court will hear 2 hours. The court clerk told lawyers this week that the court will not make a decision today, but will take the arguments presented during the hearing under consideration. We'll go forward now. This is the New Mexico Supreme Court live broadcast, oral arguments on same-sex marriage from Santa Fe.
The Honorable Supreme Court of the State of New Mexico.
Court is in session. Please be seated. We will hear argument in the case of Rose Figel et al. Versus Maggie Toulouse Oliver, which case is case number 34306. And we are here on a verified petition for writ of superintendent control. Before I have counsel state your appearance and we begin argument, I just wanted to explain a few things. The parties have been informed the court has structured oral argument as follows. We will hear first the argument on the statutory issues.
My clients respectfully ask this court to defer to the legislature's rational decision to retain marriage as the union of a man and a woman, and to direct the many influential political groups that want to redefine marriage to the legislature for the relief they seek. That is precisely how New York's highest court resolved a similar constitutional challenge to its state's marriage laws. And we respectfully ask the court to follow that course here. Beginning with the Equal Rights Amendment claim that has been raised by the plaintiffs. My clients assert that the ERA does not mandate same-sex marriage. The purpose of the ERA is to prohibit the government from treating men as a class more favorably than women as a class, or vice versa. The marriage laws at issue here do not do that. Every woman can marry a person of the same, of the opposite sex, but not of the same sex. Men can do likewise.
Isn't that truly then a difference in treatment? The fact that it doesn't discriminate between men and women as groups, but it is in the choice of one's spouse, the gender, of the person that you choose to marry, that essentially treats different. So the union of is different than that of the two groups.
The purpose of the ERA was to prevent the government from treating one class of sex differently than the other. Here, there isn't such differential treatment. In fact, this court in the NARAL decision did not proceed to the heightened scrutiny analysis until it first concluded that at issue there, women were being disadvantaged.
Sure. Your argument is that men and women are treated the same as groups as long as they choose their spouse to be of the opposite gender.
They're being treated the same, Your Honor, even if they choose a spouse of the same gender. In other words, there's equal treatment regardless. If a man chooses to marry a woman, he can do that.
And if a man chooses to marry a man, he cannot.
But the same is true for women, Your Honor, and there's equal treatment between the sexes, and thus the core purpose of the ERA isn't implicated. In fact, this court stated in the Lynch decision that we cited in our brief that when interpreting constitutional amendments, the most important consideration is to interpret the Constitution in a way that reflects the drafter's intent. Here, there was no contemporaneous discussion at the time the ERA was enacted indicating that it was intended to bring about same-sex marriage. In fact, a year after the ERA's enactment, the legislature amended a number of statutes to bring them into conformity with the ERA.
Well, the same thing could be said of the 14th Amendment, but you wouldn't suggest that that kind of discrimination does not today fall within the breadth of the 14th Amendment, right?
Well, what this court said in Lynch is that it's the most important consideration is to consider what was in the intent of the drafters. And the intent of the drafters for the ERA was not to redefine marriage. Again, it was to...
Yeah, but you're not answering my question. The 14th Amendment was passed after the Civil War. The obvious focus of the 14th Amendment was to rid the country of the vestiges of slavery, racial-based discrimination. But that doesn't mean that 100 years later we can only focus on that. We move on, don't we, into interpreting the Constitution?
Well, we always will look to the core principles. And the core principle of the ERA is to prevent the government from preferring men as a class over women as a class or vice versa. And again, that simply isn't present here. Moving next to the Equal Protection Clause claim, our initial argument is that the fundamental right to marry is not implicated here. the fundamental constitutional right to marry.
Do you agree that there is a fundamental right to marry?
There certainly is under the federal constitution. This court, to the best of my knowledge, has never spoken to the question of whether there's a fundamental right to
marry. Shouldn't we agree? There is a fundamental right to marry?
I see no reason why this court shouldn't agree that such a
fundamental
right.
Why shouldn't you be able to marry the person you choose?
Well, this court, I believe, should follow the U.S. Supreme Court's guidance in Glucksberg. In that case, the Supreme Court said it's important when engaging in fundamental rights analysis to provide a careful description of the right at issue. Here, the right at issue is the right to marry a person of the same sex. Looking at past cases, the right at issue...
In Loving versus Virginia, was it the right to marry, or was it the right to marry a person of an opposite sex? Opposite race. You're familiar with that case, aren't you?
I am, Your Honor.
Where the United States Supreme Court struck down the anti-miscegenation law of Virginia and a number of other states that said you can marry anybody you want as long as it's not a person of an opposite race. Correct?
I don't know that the court said
treated
exactly
everybody that. Alike. Supreme Court in that case didn't confine it to anti-miscegenation laws. It said the right to marry is like the right to procreation. It is a fundamental aspect of personal liberty that is protected, in that case, by the 14th Amendment.
But
the right to marry, not the right to marry someone of a different race.
Right, but the fundamental rights analysis needs to provide a careful description of the right at issue. So it can't just be, if this court were to adopt a very broad understanding of the fundamental right to marry, it would threaten not only the gendered definition of marriage, it would threaten other well-established limitations on marital choice.
Such as what?
Your concern is polygamy?
I think as a matter of logic, it would threaten that limitation as well. And not just that limitation, it would also threaten limitations on consanguinity and potentially other ones. And that's of specific interest to this court because it would create tension between a broadly created fundamental right and Article 21, Section 1 of this state's constitution, which prohibits polygamy in this state.
Is your concern that the state cannot come up with a compelling state interest to prohibit polygamy?
My concern is that the fundamental right should not be expanded in such a way that it would threaten such a well-understood limitation.
One case that's sort of like the legal elephant in the room that's not being mentioned is the case of the 9 justices on the Potomac, the United States Supreme Court, that was just handed down a few months ago, United States versus Windsor, both a majority opinion and Justice Scalia's interesting dissent, which I'm sure you've read.
I have, Your Honor.
Indicate that the Equal Protection Clause may prohibit state bans against same-sex marriage. You didn't address that in your brief. Would you like the opportunity to do that here before we figure it out without your help?
Sure. I would love the opportunity. First, I would highlight that our opponents don't argue that they're not raising a federal equal protection claim here.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about no federal equal protection claim.
It's my reading of their briefs is that they're not raising that claim here. They are raising a state claim.
Right.
But to answer the question about Windsor,
our state constitution has to provide at least the protection that the federal constitution has to provide.
That's correct. But here, there are at least 2 significant reasons why Windsor doesn't compel this state to recognize, to redefine marriage. The first point is that Windsor recognized that states are the preeminent authority over the definition of marriage. So just as in the Windsor case, the state of New York had the right to redefine marriage to include same-sex couples, so this state has the right to retain the traditional definition of marriage. That's my first point. My second point is that the Supreme Court focused time and time again on the novel and unprecedented nature of the federal DOMA law that it struck down. In other words, it found that for the first time ever, the federal government had interjected itself into the definition of marriage, and it found that that was improper. Here, however, there is nothing novel or unprecedented about the legislature deciding to retain marriage as the union of man.
So you disagree with Justice Scalia's very clearly stated view that the inevitable result of the opinion of a majority of his colleagues on the United States Supreme Court was that equal protection
would prohibit state bans on same-gender marriage.
We disagree with that. In fact, I would direct the court instead to Chief Justice Roberts' dissenting opinion, which specifically says that the Windsor decision and its holding, and the court was really clear in its holding that it was confined to just when a state recognizes a marriage and the federal government won't, that that does not control the question of whether states can continue to define marriage as they always have.
Okay.
Justices and lawyers from both sides agreed that a fundamental right to marry does exist under state law, but that's where the agreement stopped short. Jim Campbell, the lawyer for nearly a dozen current and former legislators who oppose same-sex marriage, explained his clients believe the fundamental right to marry consists of the right of a person to marry someone of the opposite sex. Justice Richard Bosson brought up the Loving v. Virginia ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court. That landmark case struck down laws prohibiting interracial marriage. Justice Bosson explained that that ruling established the fundamental right for a person to marry the person of their choice, regardless of race. Campbell responded that according to the U.S. Supreme Court, fundamental rights are to be described in detail.
If this court were to adopt a very broad understanding of the fundamental right to marry, it would threaten not only the gender definition of marriage, it would threaten other well-established limitations on marital choice.
Such as what?
Your concern is polygamy?
I think as a matter of logic, it would threaten that limitation as well.
Maureen Sanders, the lawyer for same-sex couples who were denied marriage licenses, the plaintiffs in the case, also discussed the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in Loving v. Virginia. She said the ruling didn't create a new fundamental right to interracial marriage, but rather upheld the existing fundamental right to marry. Chief Justice Petra Jimenez Maez questioned Sanders about language in that ruling that referred to free men, and Sanders responded that that language was antiquated.
I think that today's reading of the Loving versus Virginia would in fact recognize that the fact that it was a right that was enjoyed by certain parts of the population, let me put it that way, that all parts of that population should be allowed to engage in that right to marry in this case.
Does it make a difference that maybe they were talking about a marriage between a man and a woman as well?
It does not make any difference for this case, Your Honor.
The New Mexico Supreme Court did not make a ruling in the case today and did not announce when a ruling could be expected. Some legal experts think it could be quicker than the usual few months. Currently, 8 of 33 New Mexico counties are providing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. For KUNM, I'm Elaine Baumgartel.
Peter Simonson, executive director of the ACLU New Mexico, says the ruling will impact thousands of families.
The important thing is, from this moment on, right now, a same-sex couple could walk into any county clerk's office in the state of New Mexico and be sure that they will be married if that's their choice.
The court's ruling ends years of confusion over state statutes that don't explicitly prohibit or authorize same-sex marriage. Opponents aren't giving up, though. One Republican lawmaker plans to introduce an amendment to the New Mexico Constitution defining marriage as between one man and one woman during next year's legislative session. If passed, the amendment would go before voters for approval. In Albuquerque, I'm Rita Daniels.